But the Lord was speaking to me about a few things while I was away, and I started having a think about Advent. I wasn't supposed to be speaking this morning, and it was really funny because I was texting Dorothy and I said, pray, because we're not sure. And she texted this thing like, say, it's an opportunity for someone else. And as soon as she texted, I went, oh, I wish she hadn't said that. Because in the back of my mind had been like, oh, maybe I'm supposed to. Maybe, just maybe. And then, anyway, here I am. But the Lord has been speaking to me about a few things, but I just wanted to start with Advent. You know, in the Anglican Church and the Church of England, in a lot of the traditional churches, you know, the 40 days leading up to Christmas is called Advent. And for most of the time, churches just really begin to celebrate and anticipate the birth of Jesus, and in some, the return of Jesus. But I found this article that was quite interesting, a little bit of history, and it said, the word Advent is derived from the Latin word adventus, meaning coming, which is translation of the Greek word parousia. Parousia? Oh, well. Scholars believe that during the 4th and 5th centuries in Spain and Gaul, Advent was a season of preparation for the baptism of new Christians, a celebration of God's incarnation, the celebration of the visit of the Magi to baby Jesus, his baptism in the Jordan, and his first miracle at Cana. So it was all that. It was, you know, celebrating, anticipating. It means to come. And the Lord said to me, I felt like the Lord was saying, you know, Advent is every day for us as Christians. It's an everyday thing because we should be anticipating his coming on earth as in heaven. So every day is an opportunity that we can give him to come. Advent, to come in us, to come through us, to touch people. So as Christians, Advent should be an everyday occurrence, but this gives us a certain time to think about it some more, doesn't it? Because as Ian said, for some of us, coming up to Christmas, it's all a bit of a fluster, isn't it? For some of us, it's actually a hard time because maybe we've lost someone. And those special seasons make those losses become real again. You know, I know when we lost, you know, it's birthdays, it's Christmas, it's those special occasions where we really miss, because that's often what where family traditions are built within us. And so it's a hard time. But I remember last time, a couple of weeks ago when we were here, Ian was talking about how people interpret the Bible and how our theology about God will sometimes make us read differently some of the things people, you know, that the was in the scripture. But we do that with people, don't we? I mean, I don't know about you, but I know that sometimes I've thought I've communicated really well with my husband, only to find out one of us was out of sync. Like what I said and what I meant was not what he heard or he thought I meant. Like, you know, once or twice a day. But you know what I mean. And those times I go, how on earth did you not understand? I might not actually say it to him like this, but I certainly am thinking it. And it's true, let's be honest. And I go, I think I got something wrong there, but you know what I mean. So I've been thinking about that and thinking about how it is so important that we understand that our theology about who God is, and that we re-look at some of the things that we believe, that we think about. And you know what? If God's not looking good somewhere, then we've got it wrong. Because God is good. You know, that's the thing that we shared about in a little while, not too long ago, that it's really important that one of our key theologies is God is good. There is no exception. The Bible shows it. Sometimes how he does things or doesn't do things, I think is not good. It's not how, because it's not how I would do it. So I don't understand it at times, but when I don't understand, it's me that doesn't get it. And I'm missing a piece in the puzzle that isn't helping me right now see his goodness. So I have to hold on to the fact that I'm the most likely one to be wrong. Even though, like, even in, you know, within and I, maybe sometimes I'm supposed to admit I'm the one who probably was wrong, though I don't like to do that. And most of us don't. But my verse, and for this morning that the Lord gave me, is I remain confident in this, that I will yet see the goodness of God in the land of the living. You know, so when we're facing Christmas, when we're facing situations, so when she shared that, I went, yes. When it's hard because we're missing someone, then we have to refocus on, I will yet see the goodness of God in the land of the living. Because those circumstances don't change. It doesn't mean we can't feel bad. It doesn't mean that things don't hurt. But it means that we need to carry all those things in the light of God's goodness and the fact that he can work all things together for good for those who love him. Yes? So it's actually how we respond. It's not that we ignore the fact that things are going wrong or not quite how we'd like, but it's saying, well, Lord, I don't understand still in this situation, and you know at this time it's hard for me, but yet I will trust you. Yet I will be confident in this, that I will still see the goodness of God in the land of the living. And one of the things that I really stood out for me as I've been rereading the Christmas story is Mary. You know, like, because Ian talked about Zacharias, and Mary pondered these things in her heart. And it's true, but she said at the beginning, Lord, let it be done unto me according to your word. And Bill Johnson, I'll quote him again, talks about how we have to allow what God shows us to have greater weight in our lives than the thousand questions we are asking. Let me put it in a U. I have to allow what God shows you to have greater weight in your life than the thousand questions you are asking. Do you think Mary had more questions than the ones we know about in the Bible? Besides, how can this be? If I'd been her, I'd be like, I have 1,000 would be too few for the, but. I would have 1,000, 1,000,000 questions given that situation. It has never happened before. Yes, they've believed it, it's been talked about, but me? And God, do you have a clue what that's going to mean for me today, tomorrow, this year, my life? You know, she was a young girl. Yes, she was blessed. And she accepted the call of God and the promise of God. But she paid the price. It was totally worth it. I am sure she would agree. But just like the promise of God in us and the things he asks us to do are worth it. But there is always a cost. Because if we're saying yes to God, then we end up having to say no to other things that are often very tempting. And you know, the thing with Mary is that she couldn't even hide it for very long. You know, like God could have done something, you know, could have put her away for ages, you know. I don't know what he could have done, but she's going like, as time's going on, people know. And we don't have a clue how much she suffered, how much Joseph suffered, how much her family suffered. And the Lord said to me, you know what? This is what I talk about, us being co-laborers. You know, it cost God the Father to send Jesus. It cost Jesus to come. It cost Mary to be the one through whom the promise came. She was totally rewarded, but she did pay a price. And when God wants to work his miracles in us, through us, then there's often a price. And I'm glad that sometimes I haven't been aware of the cost down the line. Because if I knew, like I think if Mary knew and God revealed, but Mary, before you said yes, let me just show you a video of what that's going to look like for you. She would have been going, maybe not. You know, unless she's, do you know what I mean? But was it worth it? Will she continually be rewarded? Yes. You know, in the things that God has asked, I shared at one time about, you know, being called to a faith ministry, moving 18 times with Corey, and, you know, going places, not knowing where we're going to sleep that night, all that thing, and about the call of God in my life. Had I known that at the beginning, I probably would have been going, I'm not too sure I can handle this. But was it worth it? Yes. Would I have chosen it? Probably not. But God chose me in that situation, and Ian, obviously, and our boys. And he says that he doesn't give us more than we can handle. I often go, remember that verse, God? You sure right now? But there was a cost. There is a cost. But for some reason, that's the plan God chose, is that we are his plan. That he comes, and you know, it took a Mary to carry the birth of Jesus. Was it comfortable? Was it convenient? You know, was it all these things? Did it take miracles? Yes. Well, with that one, we know. And you know, we often read too that felt like, you know, it says that, you know, God got talked to Joseph. Did it cost him? Yes. Was it worth it? I'm sure when we get to heaven, he'll say totally. But at the time, maybe, I'm not sure. But it takes people, it takes us responding to God to carry out the promise of God, because that's how he chooses to work. Christmas time is a time of a fulfilled promise, isn't it? The Israelites have been promised, you know, way back in Genesis, there will come a seed. So it's finally a fulfillment of a promise, and yet it's the beginning of another one, isn't it? So when Jesus was conceived in Mary, she was the first to know of the fulfillment of the promise from so long ago, and yet it was only the beginning of the promise in her, and she still had to work through it, walk through it, live through it, and it cost her. When we sang Prince of Heaven, you know, one of the lines said, all the kingdom and its power resting now in this child. And for the first time this morning I went, but God, you said that, but Jesus gave it all up to come and live as a man? You know, one of those questions. Because I've just been singing it. I love the song. And I knew it was true, but as I sang it, I went, but what about Philippians? You know, he gave it all up. All the kingdom and its power. And I felt the Holy Spirit say, just like it's now in you. Just like it's now in you. Just like it's now in you and me. All the kingdom and its power resting now on this child, Jesus, is the kingdom and the power that is resting on you and me today. It's not the kingdom and the power because he was God. It's the kingdom and the power because the Holy Spirit was in him, with him, upon him, just like he is with you and me. Amen. So all the kingdom and the power of God now rests in you and me. That's mind-boggling. That really is. So it's no wonder that the enemy wants to try and thwart God's plans and purposes in us, through us. Wants to thwart the promise. Wants to thwart us trusting the promise of God. But the word, that's what we have to come back to, his word and the testimonies we hear. God is good. He never lies. He is always faithful. He has a plan for me that is good, that is full of hope. And so that's why it's so important yet again to think about the whole thing of it's us who have to renew our minds. So when we're thinking wrong, if God's not looking good, if his promise isn't looking good, then we need to say, Holy Spirit, show me something new that I need to know in the situation. Because he needs to be our anchor. He needs to be our hope. And that's what we have, that hope that's within us. That's what we can give the world. That's what we are full of the gospel of good news. Because in and through our circumstances, we stand and we have hope. And so when we're going through things, then we're trusting God to work it together for good. We're trusting that he is in control, and we're trusting that he has his best interests for us and for those around us. When we're singing that, those sort of songs, it's also brought to mind, you know, like when we sing My Anchor Forever, you know, through all the struggles. You know, often I think it's because something really bad's happening that we need to sing that. You know, I'm singing, oh, we are all going through so many things and everything is a struggle. And then, but you know what? Mary would have needed a song like that. And the enemy comes at those times and says, see, you haven't heard right. I say, am I the only one? When things go wrong and it's not quite planning out, you know, maybe I heard wrong, maybe, you know, all those questions that come. But it's through the promise, you know, from conception to the birth of Jesus wasn't easy for Mary. The amazing thing is that it talks about Joseph having no union with her until after the birth of Jesus. And after Ian talked about Zechariah, you know, about him not being able to talk, being actually a blessing for Zechariah, not a punishment, then I still think in the same way, I don't think it was that Joseph didn't know Mary in that way until the end, but it was because how hard it was to walk through that and to know what she was going to go through, that she had to know that, to know that this baby she was carrying was God's conception. So if she's still a virgin when she gives birth, there is no other option. So it's for her sake, again, because, you know, I think in some of the traditional things we think it's because, you know, it has to be kept holy. But, well, it's, you know, sex is holy. God made it. So it's not for that that Joseph and Mary stayed apart, I think, now. It's because all that time she knows that she knows that she knows that she knows, God, you did this. Do you know what I mean? Like, I go, God, you got me here. I am here because you sent me. Hello. And I'm trusting that I will still see your hand work through it. That's what, you know what, at times that's all that keeps me going. I don't know about you, but in my walk with God, there are times when the only thing that keeps me going is that I know, that I know, that I know I'm in the center of God's will. Mary would have known that she knows, that she knows that she's in the center of God's will. There was no question there. You and I need to look at the goodness of God, trust Him in the promise. And when things are going tough, you know, when we go, oh, maybe I heard wrong, that's not sin. That's just how we feel. It's only sin if we continue to, I heard wrong, God's not in this. Do you know what I mean? But if we just go like that and you go, I'm sorry, God, that's how I'm feeling right now. But I know, and go back to the promise, go back to the word, get prayer. Advent. As we come to the birth of Jesus, we still have promises that we know haven't quite come to pass yet. So as we celebrate the birth of Jesus, let's continue to pray that that time comes as a fulfillment, but that it's also the beginning of the new promise of what God has in store for you and for me, for this community. As we trust Jesus, as we trust God, that He has us all here, that He can reach the lost in Britwell, in Slough, through us. And that because we know that He kept His promise, now who would have liked to have waited that long for a promise fulfilled? His timing's not always my timing, as I say all the time, but He is faithful. He will fulfill His promise to us, and we will still see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living, because that's who God is, and that's who He promises to be for us and through us. Amen. Good word. Good word.